We're going to get during these 50 days as we get prepare for Pentecost, the completion in a way, instruction. First, every day, all these days, we'll hear from the Acts of the Apostles. We started with Pentecost today. The rest, as you know, if you look at chapter 1, it's about electing the successor to Judas and all that. Pentecost, the church. You see, because the risen life of Christ is in the church. It's in the disciples. It's in the sacraments. It's in the Word. The risen life of Christ is in the church. So, for these 50 days, we go from chapter 1 to 28 in Acts. Because here's Christ continued on earth, which was Luke's whole point in writing it. Huh? Christ is still here, present, living in his church. So it's the life of Christ continued, as it is this morning. So we had that text, you see. And Peter is preaching and explaining all the phenomena they just heard. See, we began with verse 22 of chapter 2, so well, 14, and then it's happened. The wind, the tongues of fire, they're all praying, singing in tongues, the whole bunch of them, the 12 of them, 11 of them, well, 12 by then. And so everybody's gathering and saying, what is going on? And Peter says, I'll tell you what's going on. You who are children of Israel, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds and wonders and signs, which God worked through him, his Father worked through him in your midst, as you know yourselves. This man, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God. Nothing gets out of control. Like, oh gosh, they went and killed my son. What do I do now? You know? This is a constant theme. It was predicted. It was told in all our scriptures that this was going to happen. Particularly in the songs about the servant. Particularly like in the life of Jeremiah, which was a whole prophecy of Jesus. Particularly that freedom from Egypt, which is the beginning of a freedom, which only really happens. The freedom given to the Jews at the Exodus was the freedom to worship God. That was the freedom. It wasn't that they didn't have slave masters, but it was to worship God. That's why they were free. Well, that was completed, you see, in this day, Pentecost. Now we can really worship God because the Holy Spirit lives and prays in us. And so he starts talking about this and he quotes Psalm 16. I saw the Lord ever before me, with him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. Therefore my heart has been glad and my tongue has exulted. My flesh too will dwell in hope. Now, that was a prophetic understanding. And as Peter argues, David is the traditional author of all the Psalms. So the Jews always understood all of them as being by David, even though they knew very well that some of them weren't in our little historical exactitude world. I saw the Lord ever before me, with him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore my heart has been glad and my tongue has exulted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. That's a prophecy. You have made known to me the paths of life. You fill me with joy in your presence. And Peter says, now my brothers, I can tell you confidently, as you all know, David is dead. His tomb is right there, in our midst. So obviously he was talking about somebody, another David, the David, to come. And that is this Jesus. And God did raise him, and we are all witnesses. We have seen him. And so then, it comes to this, exalted at the right hand of God, which is another Psalm, 109, right? Sit at my right hand. He poured forth the promise of the Holy Spirit. God had promised. Oh my goodness. Start from Genesis 1 and go through. And look at all the time that God promised. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. In Joel, Isaiah 3 or 4 times. I will give you my Spirit in Ezekiel and Jeremiah. He promised. He promised this Holy Spirit. So exalted at the right hand of God, he, Jesus, in his humanity, poured forth the Holy Spirit that he received from the Father, as you both see and hear. There we were, his disciples, a bunch of small town hicks from Galilee, scared to death of the cops, and now we're standing here before all of you witnessing he's alive. Now who do you think did that? The Holy Spirit. And so the fire and the wind, and you see. And then we get this lovely psalm all over again. Then we get the gospel, which is a little bit sad, right? Mary, they're going away and they met Jesus. Oh, they were, can you imagine? Knowing him, loving him, watching him die on the cross, hearing, and then they're running away from the tomb, and look, Shalom. He stands there and greets them. You know, don't be afraid. Now, he says, go tell my brothers. See, this began at the Last Supper. I don't call you servants, I call you friends. Now that he's risen from the dead, they are his brothers. Now we have a new family. Those who are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, by his resurrection and by the Eucharist through baptism, we are his relatives. We are his flesh. So go tell my brothers. Go to Galilee and they'll see me. Which, as you know, happens in Matthew and in John in another way. Then we have the sad part. Some of the guards love to know what really they saw. Did they see an angel come down and just tear that stone away? What did they see? Those tombs are like little caves. And there's a great big millstone about that wide. And as high as this candle. And as big as long, as wide as the altar. And that's rolled over the cave. That's what a tomb looked like there for them. I've seen them. There's one right in the garden of the Franciscans over there in Bethany. If you ever get over there, ask the guide, I want to see the tomb in the Franciscan garden at Bethany. And you'll see what they look like. And the first part is where the body was placed until all the flesh had been consumed, and then the bones were put together in an ossuarium and put in the back part. That's the significance of when they said, in a grave in which no one had ever been laid. He was the very first. There had never been in that grave before. So they went and told him what happened. It'd be lovely. What did they see? What happened? And all of a sudden, he walked out. Don't worry. We'll pay you. That's going to stop it. That's going to stop the Son of God risen from the dead. A few bucks. You see? And that's the story that's going around again. So you can ask yourself, then I'm going to quit. You can ask yourself, well, why didn't he appear to everybody? That really would have wowed him. No way. No way. You see, if you want to know he's risen from the dead, you've got to take a step toward him. He never forces anybody. He did appear, according to Paul, to 500 at one time, which is quite a crowd. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says that. And then last of all to me, you know, as one born out of due time, he says, right? So he saw Jesus in a vision there on the way to Damascus. And lots of people have seen him since. You know, Margaret, Mary, lots of people. But the question you can ask yourself is this. Is it because they saw him in a vision or because they knew his life inside of them that they preached and risked and were killed? Do you think that St. Francis was any less convinced of the resurrection of Jesus than John or Paul? No way. We can all have that vision, transform our spirit, if we'll just obey the Holy Spirit day by day until he gets us out of our sin and gets us there without a vision. Right? If a guy walked in here right now with a gun and said, anybody who believes in the resurrection, line up over there. You've never seen him, right? Wouldn't you go over? You'd have to. Just hope he shoots straight. But I mean, you know he's risen. We sing, Christ is risen, hallelujah. Well, we're supposed to mean it. We know he's risen. That's his power. It says in 1 Peter, right? Though you've never seen him, you love him. Isn't that the work of the Holy Spirit? Having been raised from the dead, he received the promised Holy Spirit and he poured him out, and that's what you see in here. The greatest sign of the resurrection is a believer who acts like one.